You might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah and chapter 32. Jeremiah and 32. And in our study of Jeremiah, we're looking at God's taking time to, by way of Jeremiah, by putting it in writing so that the people there would hear directly, Jeremiah would know directly, and all here thereafter, including us, would know thereafter that God keeps his word, God's faithfulness is to be trusted and outworked. And us humans on planet Earth, we're here doing what we do, seeing what we see, and we're very limited. So we need to see what God is after. Israel doesn't want to see it from God's window. All they want to see it is from their own limited window. And so they, of all the wonderful statements, even up to this point in Jeremiah, that have been made about the future for Israel, they just didn't connect, just didn't get it. They were caught up in living here and now. And here and now that we're living in, where do you find God in here and now? If we just go down the street, go to the grocery store, go anywhere, where are people conscious of God? Where is there evidence that people are God conscious? In a given store, in a given business, in the government, in school, at work, where are they conscious of God? God is present. He's wonderfully, awesomely different, and he can never be, and he's always present. But we don't connect to him. That's the problem. So if we just have no connection, that's why the world system, as we use it and God uses it, the world system is a system where God is excluded. The world system, including politics and religion, has no place for God. No place, no room. For God's, little g, but little g on gods, they are gods. Philosophy and all the different atheism, communism, agnosticism, whatever you want to do, all of that, there are no gods there. There are no gods. Therefore, as we've been looking, chapter 32 and verse 41, I will rejoice. This is God telling the assurance of a wonderful, wonderful future that God is going to do. I will rejoice over them to do them good. I will plant them in this land assuredly, without any question. And I'm going to do so with my whole heart and with my whole soul. I want to do it wholeheartedly. And now I wanted to lock that in a little better, maybe, afresh. God, what does it mean when you say your whole heart? What do you do, God, that isn't of your whole heart? We can do 100 things during the day that are not from our whole heart. We just do them. Our whole heart isn't in it. God, what do you do that isn't, your whole heart isn't in it? Question. What does God do that his whole heart isn't in it? I want to lock that in. That's important. Because your relationship to God in Christ Jesus is wholehearted. God is saving you wholeheartedly. We're in God's presence wholeheartedly, and not piecemeal. not piecemeal. You couldn't have more of God if you tried. And going to heaven, you won't have more of God in the sense of his presence. It's an awesome thing. But it's totally out of, it'd be like having the, right now, assuming you don't have any electronic thing going, right now, all those sound waves are traveling. Everything is busy in this room. The room is full of all kinds of everything going on. But as far as we're concerned, it's just us, and it's a complete silence. We are totally immune from what's going on. But it's there. But boy, we don't know it. God's there, and the system doesn't know it, doesn't care. Now, so having said that, God, you're going to put your whole heart in. So let's see how that comes out here fresh, to think about it. Over, if you would, please, to Isaiah. Isaiah and chapter 42. And in Isaiah chapter 42, I'm going in the light of the context. Verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give, not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. God is a glorious God, and all that he does is for his glory, to manifest, to make clear, to make plain, to make visible, as it were, to make it, to show it. God is God. And here we are in the presence of God, and God shows himself. How? Romans 1, etc. The bugs, the birds, the bees, the flowers, everything, electronics, all of the laws of science and everything, everything functioning. God shows it. Now, so God, here we are looking. It's all for your glory and all for your honor in all that you're going to do and what you do. So, and back over, we'll do one more place where you're here. Isaiah chapter 48. And in Isaiah chapter 48, picking up, please, verse 9. For my name's sake will I defer, delay. I will defer my anger. And for my name's sake will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. And in other words, I'm not going to spank, judge, chasten you. Verse 10, behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Israel, that's in 400 years in Egypt. Verse 11, for my own sake, even for mine own sake, twice, will I do it. How should my name be polluted? I will not give my glory unto another. Just, I'm not going to do it. There's only one God, and so only God can get all the glory. There's not two gods. There's not a vice president and a second vice president. It's just God. So therefore, no one can get the glory except God, because only God is God. Next verse, 12. Hearken to me, O Jacob, O and Israel, and my called, I am he, I am the first, I also am the last, I'm God. So you understand that. It's just logic. It's just common sense. There's only one God. There's only one God that can get the glory of God. There's only one God that can be acknowledged as God, and that's God. What are you going to do? God. Now, exercise it. He's God. He's glorious. Over to 1 John, And in 1 John, if I can, picking up in chapter 4, and taking, using God's wonderful character, conduct, and here's God's wonderful love, his person. Watch, here's the whole chapter, but he is going to verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. So you draw a little circle to you. We have known and believed the love that God hath to you. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now God, remember what we did in the beginning, God gives himself wholeheartedly, not partly. There's nothing God does that isn't all of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in it. All of God. So, God, your love. So when we're being loved by God, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God, how did you do that? With my whole heart. When I receive Christ as my Savior, and you did, if you did, and you should. When we receive the Lord as our Savior, what did we receive? God. Did we receive God? God did so with his whole heart. So the love of God that saves us, and when I receive God in Christ, when I received him as my Savior, I received the love of God, the whole-hearted love of God. I didn't have a little piece of it. I don't have a little piece of it, and neither do you. You have to have all of it. God is one wonderful, awesome person, and he gives himself wholeheartedly as God any place and every place that he does things. You understand that? And some of you people do. There's people that are busy, and they have times when, and you've heard them say that, or they tell you that. My whole heart's in this. And you can tell they're doing something. I'm trying to think, some silly thing maybe. If you're cooking some special something, and you're busy, and you're doing it, and it's whatever, and you got all these different ingredients doing whatever, and your whole heart's in it. And it wasn't in emptying the wastebasket, your whole heart wasn't. But boy, your whole heart's in this, what you're making. Wow, your hands are all gooey and everything, because you're what? Your whole heart's in this. Got it? God's whole heart is in it, not like emptying the wastebasket. That's how he is. The average whosoever, the average person, the average believing person does not, as much as they ought, understand God has to do everything he does, thinks with his whole heart. We don't do that. We could read the Bible without our whole heart, can't we? Can we? We can read the Bible without a whole heart. We're thinking of other things while we read. We can do that. Sure, we can pray without our whole heart. Without our whole heart. We don't have to have our whole heart. God wants the whole heart. Now, having said that, maybe not very well, but at least you got the idea. God's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful working. Now, so God, here we are going, so let's exercise the whole heart. And since God is going to give his whole heart, his whole person, then as we shared, and just reminding yourself, that God expects you, your whole heart. That's the arrangement. It's a person-to-person thing. It isn't artificial intelligence. It isn't some other thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful relationship personally to the person of all persons, God. Personal. And your computer world and the electronic world can so get you locked into the wrong direction, which has happened today with young people and other people. It's very hard to have an old-fashioned relationship to one another. And you know the old silly illustration, sitting at lunch, and the four people are there at the table. They're all talking to each other, but they don't look at each other because they look at the little phone, whatever it is, and they do whatever they do. And I do that to you, and you do that to me, and you do that to you. And what happened to, hi, see? And we're satisfied. Now, God, you don't do that, no. So therefore, Deuteronomy, and in chapter 4, and all we're doing is reminding ourselves and keep connecting the dots. Deuteronomy chapter 4, picking up, please, in verse 29. In chapter 4, picking up verse 29. But from thence, again the context, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. How so? If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. God is going to do what he does with all his heart and all his soul. And God's looking for what? You want me? You're going to seek me with all of your heart, not partial, not piecemeal, with all of your heart and all of your soul. And if you seek me with all your heart and soul, you will find me. Over, if I can, chapter 6. And you recall the Shema in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord in his unity trinity. Verse 5, 6 and 5. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. All your heart and all your soul. You've got to turn the pages. Keep turning the pages of history. History, that's what you're doing. Turning the pages of history. God, are you consistent? Chapter 10. And in chapter 10, picking up in verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. I want all of you. Hang on. I think if you catch it, it's great. You got to see it. I don't mean that doesn't mean you don't see it. You got to get where that grabs you. There's no one like that on no one in your family, your friends, your enemies, your coming and going, your dreams, your aspirations. You couldn't even come close to this in anything. There's nothing like it. What? God. And you're going to, my God, and we're looking to God. My God, and wow. Now, over if I can, chapter 11. And chapter 11. And picking up again in verse 22. 11 and 22. For if you shall diligently keep all these commandments, which I command you, to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. That's what I want. I want you to, God wants the whole ball of wax. Now, before we put the next piece, lock that in. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here's to the believing heart when we receive the Lord as our Savior. And in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6, picking up, if I may, in verse 19. This is straightway, you know, all this stuff, just repeating it for us to think, keep the pieces together, connect them. Verse 19, what? Know you not that your body, when you come to know the Lord as your personal Savior, for real and for right, and you're truly saved? What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belong to God. When you came to know the Lord as your Savior, God took you from head to toe. You're his. Oh, I'm mine. No. If you're saved, you may try to be yours. The flesh, no flesh shall glory in his presence. But we do. So us Christian believers, that's how we do. We miss out on the whole thing because God, you don't have my body. You ask me, and I'll tell you if I like it, and I'll do it. See, or I'll read that a little bit just to show you I'm devoted. You see, no, God, we said I own you from stem to stern. I own the whole of you. I paid for you on Calvary's cross. That's what I did. And we don't even understand that, even after all the Sunday with on the Gospel of John and all that. He had to die to own us. He owns us. That's wonderful. We're bought with a price. Now, having said that, so therefore, we should be able to seek the Lord with our whole heart and soul. In order to seek the Lord with our whole heart and soul, let's take an example, David. David did so, but I want you to notice a word in where he tells us that, God tells us that. 1 Samuel chapter 13. 1 Samuel chapter 13. And you will notice King Saul, remember, is rejected, and David is going to come along and be the king of Israel. And in that whole movement, chapter 13, verse 14 to Samuel and to King Saul. Verse 14, chapter 13, verse 14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue, that's King Saul. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Saul was not a good king and not good. I want the little word that I want you to note, if you could. The Lord hath sought him a man. And then the word after, A-F-T-E-R, after. After the standard, according to the standard, according to the pursuit. What's the standard? What is the standard God? My whole heart. After the standard. Genesis 1, now to turn there, Genesis 1, 26 in that. I have created a man, and there's a little word after, the same word, after his image and likeness. The standard for you and me in body, soul, and spirit is God. He created us. The standard for you not being a giraffe or a gorilla or a bug. God created you a male and female, man and woman, in a most wonderful, wonderful way. After his image, he's the standard that created you to be able to enjoy him in a unique and wonderful way. Now, and having said that, and so God delights to do that. And in the process of his delight to do so, God does that. The world, back to what we started to say in the beginning, the world isn't interested. Go back with me over to the Gospel of John. Oh, and in the light of over the Gospel of John, and in chapter 1. In the Gospel of John, and chapter 1. And you will note, may I go, please? Chapter 1, picking up God's, remember the Word became flesh, verse 14, and dwelt among us. God put on a human house, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, so we could see the invisible God. And we beheld his glory, the glory, remember glory, God gives his glory to no one and no one, nothing. The only one God will give glory to himself. He's the only God there is that's glorious. He's the only glorious person. Everything else is only made after his, in his creativity, to show his glory. So now, end of verse 14. Glory to the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Back over to verse 10. This introduction. Remember, we did John. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. You go down and ask in the bus stop down the town, Wasson Street, ask him about God. Ask him, what do you know about God? What do you really know about God? You know, okay. Now, they don't know. We said that in the beginning. That's why you don't know. There's no evidence of God from us humans. Everywhere else there's evidence, but not from us humans. No. So the world system has no place for God. Verse 11. He came unto his own, that's the Jewish people, and his own received him not. And if we go over there to Israel, bless their heart, they have a wonderful future, which is what Jeremiah 32 is all about, their future. But they don't see it. They don't see it. Well, we're talking, they don't know what we're talking about. They should. But they didn't want him. They rejected him, crucified him. So God, in his grace, reaches out and says to whosoever, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, the right, the privilege, to become the sons, the children of God, even to them that believe in his name. How does that happen? Verse 13, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, nothing to do with humans in any way, shape, or form, but of God. How did you get saved? Why we're created in his image and likeness. God died on the cross to save us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, so that he become a wonderful Savior. He's the only God and only Savior. And so we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God does a wonderful thing, and we're just there. The world doesn't care, the Jews don't care, but the human heart is to enjoy what God does. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in God's wonderful grace, God is personally involved, as you said, and you know it, over to Matthew and chapter 10. And in Matthew chapter 10, we are just God's personal. We did it the other day, so he'll remind us. We're reminded, God. So God does with his whole heart. And God, you have to pay attention, God, to be able to say what you wrote. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. So God knows every bird, ant, bug that lives and dies. That's an awesome thing to even consider. Very personal, verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And that's personal. And that's intent for God to pay attention, to count the hairs in your head. And as they fall off, they get them, they come and they go, you know. And as they go, I mean, you have to be paying attention to somebody to be following 24 hours a day, to be catching all their hair that's coming and going. I mean, you got to be on top of this. That's rather personal, if you ask me. And add it. So you didn't miss what he was just saying, 29:30. Verse 31, fear ye not, therefore, you are of more value than many little birds. You are made in the image and likeness of God. After he's the standard, and you have every right, because he died on the cross to save whosoever, everyone that would believe, to be a believer, to enjoy being a believer, to understand God's wholeheartedness in what he does. It has to be his whole heart. There is no one else to do it. There's no one else that created us. There's no one else that could save us. And there's only one way that we could ever enjoy God's good, is to make sure you include God. For without me, John 15:5, you can do what? Nothing. See? You can't do it. Because God's God. And it's his whole heart. So when you go to bed tonight or whatever, it's his whole heart there. In the bedroom, in whatever it is. God's whole heart. And your heart, in your heart. Now, having said that little bit, and God cares in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, if I can, God caring, like we just noted in Matthew. And so go over with me to 1 Peter. And in God's caring. 1 Peter. And picking up. 1 Peter, and going, if I can, to chapter 5, and we're talking about caring, so therefore, sliding over in verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit unto yourselves, unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. Why? For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And remember when we did all that without going all back through that. Just remember, just think, here's my watch for you up here, if I can. Here's my watch. And what am I doing? Watch. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and let him come down upon you, that he may exalt you. Let him come down and humble you, that he may exalt you. See? That's the background for the next statement. Verse 7. Casting all your care, throwing, tossing, throwing. casting all your care, all your care, all your anxiety, all that you, in divided mind, all over the place, in all kinds of different ways, casting all your care, all your care. Now you know, over, hold your finger here if you like, and go over to Matthew chapter 6 very quickly, just to catch, reminding you of this whole movement. Matthew chapter 6. And God, here we are. And God, I have to understand your personal care and that. And to be able to have, if you had a given physical problem and you had the person come and give you that personal care and commitment and a long time, stay right there overnight and everything. That's personal care. That's awesome. Now, chapter 6, Gospel of Matthew, what we're looking at is the word care, divided mind, all over the place, not locked in. You're trying to think about 10 different things, worry about 15 things, and add a few more, and that your mind's all over the place. It isn't focused. It's all over the place. Therefore, verse 25, I say unto you, take no thought, there's your word, for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or neither for your body, belongs to the Lord, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body more than clothing, I should say? Don't worry about everything. You get all divided up about everything. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, but your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And we just read, you're better than 10 lots of sparrows. I love you. I made you after my image. I didn't make sparrows after my image. I made you after my image. You know. Now, and sliding, and without doing all that, you know, sliding over, if I can, over to verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, there's again, it's been all the way through here, take no thought, divided care, mind, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether shall we be clothed? In other words, we're worried about everything, trying to work out our job, our home, our health, our marriage, and coming and going and growing up. We're trying to make it all work. Don't do it. Don't worry about it. For, why? For after all these things, do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things. The world's busy. We said at the beginning, they have no place for God, but they're busy trying to live their life totally disconnected from God. That's what they're doing. And your Father knows. And so God knows. So we don't have to tell him. God's watching over. He's taking care of things. And that's what the people do. They watch little kids growing up in that. You look at their growing up, whatever, and as they grow up, and their feet are this big, and then they get this big, and this big, okay? And they get this big, and then and now they're giving them a shoe of this size, right? Their foot's now this big. Didn't you pay attention that their foot's bigger? Don't they need a bigger shoe? No. They're going to wear this one out. You have to wear it on their thumb. You got it? We're conscious, aren't you? We're conscious of the need, us humans. And if us humans do that, can you imagine what God would do? Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, seek ye first, verse 33, the kingdom of heaven, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So we're just going to put God in the right place. We're going to love God with our whole heart. God, what did you want Israel to do Chapter 32, to enjoy you had a wonderful plan, and even though it was all messed up because of their unbelief and their failure, God was going to keep the plan. That's God's going to do. And you can be sure of God's faithfulness to do so. So therefore, hang in there and stay in there. Don't back off and trust God. No matter how it looks, trust God. Anyway, no matter however it comes out, God knows just how to make it come out at the right time, in the right way, for the right reasons. God knows. Now, so having said that, and again reminding you, not that I need to, verse 34, take therefore no thought, there's your little word, divided, mind, heart, all over the place. Therefore take no thought, don't be worried, for tomorrow, what's it going to be tomorrow? For tomorrow shall take thought. There's enough things you're going to have to work about tomorrow for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil, the trouble thereof. You got enough problems today. Trust God and work through them. Go through them. And tomorrow start again. That's what you're going to do. Philippians chapter 4. And in Philippians and in chapter 4. And you know, verse 6, wonderful section. Philippians 4, 6 is a little word, care, careful, thoughtful, divided mind. Be careful. Don't be divided up for anything. There's no reason you can justify being worried. How's that? How do you justify being worried? Divided up. How do you justify being all over the place trying to figure it out? You can't. Stop doing it. Command. Stop doing that with your mind. Why? How so? Verse 6, be careful for nothing. Remember, without me, you can't do anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. When you got a specific problem, look to God, trust God, work through it, looking to God to get you through it, the thick and thin of it. And in the process, thank God. No matter how it goes, no matter what it is, no matter how you feel, trust God. Do so with thanksgiving. Underline. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. That means you aren't going to put it together. You aren't going to analyze it and write a book. Okay? You won't write a book about this one. You'll have to just enjoy the experience. That's fine. In verse 7, where it passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, having said that, back over to 1 Peter, quickly over to 1 Peter, and in chapter 5, having done that little bit, God, I'll read the verse 7. Casting, throwing all your care, all your thought, all your anxiety, divided mind all over the place. Casting all your care, and all your care, and just stop worrying about anything, everything. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. He cares. You are the object of his concern. And the little word there that you see, for, little preposition, wonderful little preposition. Prepositions are wonderful. Here's the little preposition, and here's my tissue. I'll put my tissue. And what I'm going to do, here you are, and God is going to go and take, and it says, casting all your care, for he careth, he circles you. For his concerning, you are in the circle, you are in the center of his concern. You got the word. You are in the center of his concern. That's what you're in. Casting all your care upon him, you are the center of his concern. And God said, I owe all them. But we just read that in Matthew 6. What are you getting caught up in everything for? Your Father knows what you have. And God will do what he has to do to help you grow up and come forth even as gold. So now, having said that little bit, in closing, get the idea. You got the idea a little bit? We didn't get very far. I just wanted to try to lock in with my whole heart. My whole heart. God's whole heart. So when I say, Father, my God, that's all of them. I have, as you have, his full attention. Can't have more. So, over to Psalm 40. Here's David. David's whole heart, remember. And in Psalm 40, picking up if I may, you remember the Psalm David and going a lot of time straight to verse 5. Many, O Lord, my God, 40 verse 5, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts. Not my thoughts, God's thoughts. God's thoughts. God's thinking. His ways are higher than the heavens. His ways, his thoughts. And thy thoughts, which are to usward in our direction, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. God said, I told you, your Father knoweth. Stop worrying. Stop being all over the place as if there was no God. The world has no God, but you, and we, I wish I could have done all that. I forgot to do that for you. Do you understand? God says it. He says it over again. He said, you are my people, and I am your God. He makes a statement. I am your God. I am God, he said, to you. That's awesome. I am all God, he said, to you. I'm the only God, to you. Personal. And so therefore, God, here we are, the thoughts cannot be counted up. And so God's wonderful, wonderful thinking is above all that we can ask or think. And God, you're going to go and what? We're going to go and look to you. It's your whole heart. And God, so God says, don't stop getting all frustrated because you're never going to fix everything. Some things are fixable. Some things are never going to be fixed in your life. So just relax. And outwork, let me, God, in your life, as you work, school, home, sweat, every other way, work it out, trust me, inch by inch. You've got my full attention, said God, and I want your whole heart. I want you wholeheartedly to be my son and my child. Wholeheartedly. That's what I want. All the rest, why, think of what we're doing on Sunday night and all of that. That's why you say, what's happening in the apostasy and the way with the whole age is going downhill? Because the people aren't even interested in coming close to this. And as we come to the end of the age, will I find the body of truth abiding in believers? And the answer is no. Rhetorical question. I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit. Anyway, thank you.